All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jesse here with the Team Rocket podcast, and I'm here with Daisha Harley, professional Smash player. How are you doing today, Daisha?
I'm great. How's it going?
Not too bad. Weather's finally warming up. It's not a big snow, not a giant snow tundra anymore here in Kentucky. How about you?
Yeah, same with Cincinnati, Ohio. It's quite warm, so it's really nice.
That is good to hear. So we brought you on. You are an up-and-coming Smash Brothers player out of the Ohio Midwest region, correct?
Yes, yes. I've been entering tournaments since 09.
Oh, well, that would have been around the would that have been Brawl or Melee at that time for
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. I was playing Brawl at the time.
Okay. And I take it you've moved on since to Smash for Wii U?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, well, just want to get some just a few questions and see where this goes. First off, I want to ask, what got you into gaming?
I've always been playing since I was young. So basically, since all I can remember, I've been playing video games. I remember my first system was just Super Nintendo, and I remember just playing tons and tons of Super Mario World, literally all the time. And ever since then, I just haven't stopped. So
just been continually running with it.
Yep.
I was going to say, I remember Super Mario World. That was really fun. I loved that game. That was one of my favorite platformers. So many secrets in that game to this day.
It's definitely one of my favorites.
And they were really innovative with the 2D design. You would have to pop up. I think there was one level where you had to, the best way to do it was sacrificing a Yoshi. You would sacrifice a Yoshi to jump under the goal.
Yep.
And then there would be a second goal right beyond it.
Yep. There's a lot of really cool things you can do with it that you wouldn't even really think of.
It was, my friend and I used to play that when we were younger, and I remember that. We spent months trying to figure out how to do that one. It was so simple. All right. So with that being said, competitive gaming.
Yes.
Obviously, your foray is Smash. What made you want to consider getting into competitive gaming? And for that matter, what made you gravitate towards Super Smash Brothers?
I've always played Smash Brothers just for fun at the time. I didn't know it was really competitive until in high school, about 10th grade. I had a friend and he was already playing competitively, and I would play him, and he was always like, oh my gosh, you have potential. You should get into competitive gaming. I feel like you could really do well with this. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was interested, and he told me about his tournament that was coming up, so I decided to go ahead and enter it. And ever since then, I fell in love. I met with some of the people there, and I just, made really good friends. I just haven't stopped.
Oh, well, that is good to hear. All right. And obviously, when did you decide at that point you wanted to make a serious run competitively?
It was basically right after that. My first tournament, I decided that I wanted to continue on. And then I started running my own tournament series a little bit after that as well.
No kidding. What's the name of it?
At the time, my first tournament was called Smashing Through the Stones because I wanted to raise money for Haiti during that earthquake. And so after that, I fell in love. So then I made a series called Schools in Session, which lasted about 2 years. And that was to raise money for schools in Africa. And now with Smash 4 coming out, I have an upcoming tournament called Class is Back, which is also to raise money within inner city schools.
That's actually really noble. You don't hear about things like that very often within the gaming community. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're raising money towards that, that's extremely, that's very cool. That's really noble that you're doing that.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. So let's see. As a competitive player, have there been any players that have influenced your style of play, people that have helped craft you into the player that you are today?
I definitely just say the Cincinnati crew. We have, especially during Brawl, I think we had tons and tons of players. And we do nowadays, more for Melee than Smash 4. But definitely, we always help each other out. There was always Smash Fest, which is weekly practice at someone's house or something, and that was always really nice because again we'd always help each other out, and a lot of times we would even hang out outside of Smash Brothers, which is nice again because it's it has a more deeper personal level with everyone, so it's kind of you want to keep playing because everyone else is your friend, so it's pretty nice.
Now I would ask stylistically, the way you play the game, how do you tend to approach your matches when you're playing someone and just some maybe someone you've never played against before, but in a tournament setting? Are you more of an aggressive player, defensive? Are you tricky, as it were? If you had
I
to
guess,
describe your style in just a couple words.
yeah, I guess my friends would say I'm more tricky than anything.
Right, and who is he, and who do you main in this current iteration of Smash?
I mean Ness.
From Earthbound.
Yes, from Earthbound.
PK Thunder.
Yes.
All right, so since you've been playing competitively, what would you say has been your biggest highlight, like the moment you're most proud of?
Ooh, that's tough. Probably, I think one of the most like happiest moments I have was, oh, there's so many. I guess Apex was a really nice one because when I was in Apex, I was playing in a doubles match against Hungrybox and Captain Crunch, and they're two really well-known players. And we ended up winning, beating them pretty badly. It was just kind of cool to just say like, hey, I've beaten these top players. And it was kind of like when people were sort of like recognizing who I was, but still like really didn't know too much. So more recently, I had entered a Columbus tournament where like a really good Michigan player came in and I like beat him 2-0, which was really very like, I was very proud of that because he was really well known. So then that's kind of like started the whole like, who's this girl? Like I heard she beat this really good player and kind of like, I think those like my proudest moments just because more people kind of began to recognize who I was.
They got your name out there.
Exactly.
So now I know about Hungrybox, and I would think like even beating him even in doubles, you know, that would carry weight. That would be like, oh my God, that's one of the Smash gods. So to
Yeah.
even beat him even in a double setting, that's no short order. I mean, that's a huge feat.
Yes, I was very, very excited.
Now, conversely, and I know this isn't something most people would discuss, but what would you say has been, if you had a worst moment in Smash, like a moment that just was like absolutely frustrating, just made you just want to scream like, ah! What would you have described that as?
While I'm playing, or I.
In general, like I would say if you've had a low point in your Smash career so far, what would you say it was?
I've had a couple. I guess my lowest point in my Smash career, though, was when I was running tournaments for schools in session. Not necessarily when I play, because when I play, I fortunately like tend to take losses pretty well. But when I was running a tournament, actually, my last schools in session, something ended up happening where like it ended up becoming this huge deal at the tournament just because it was a match that happened. And it was like, how do we figure out how we like handle what happened during this match? And it was really stressful because at the time there was no rule for what had occurred. And so I had to figure out what I should do and how I should handle it. And it became like a whole like country known thing. So like it was to the point where a bunch of TOs came together from all over to create a rule for this. But it was like so stressful because some people want it one way and other people want it the other way, and there was tons of like boos but also tons of cheers, so it was like very difficult and I was so stressed, so I didn't want to run a tournament ever again after that, and I was just like really upset. That was probably kind of like one of the last times I decided to like play with Brawl as much in terms of competitive.
Now, was it something about Brawl specifically that caused this particular rule to have to come into play, or was it just an in general thing? I know that Brawl had certain game nuances that didn't make it necessarily the most competitively sound game.
So it wasn't like Brawl, it was more like a game specific thing. So what ended up happening was, if I can try to explain it in lamest terms, was there was a character who was a Sheik, and then there was another character who was an Olimar, and the Sheik was a, like got this really sick combo, and the Sheik is like a player that no one knows really, and he's from our area, he's from Kentucky actually, and then he's fighting against this Olimar that everyone around the world knows. And so it was really hype because we're like, oh my gosh, like this guy from Kentucky is about to beat like a, such a good player. And so he gets him in this cool combo and he's ready to up smash him. Guaranteed death. But right as like the spark of the up smash hits him, he gets excited and presses pause. And so the Allmar player was like, you pressed to pause,
That
you
should,
should.
that's an in, that would be considered a forfeiture because you've interrupted gameplay.
Exactly. Even though the up smash, well, as soon as he unpaused it, like the up smash hit and he died. And yes, the Sheik would have won, but the Olimar was like, well, you paused it. So yes, you should basically have lose a stock, and which means you lost the game. So it was kind of like, it's really stressful. And that's when people started heavily implementing the whole like no pausing or just turning off pause in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was very. It was really stressful because a lot of people was cheering for the Sheik to win because it's there's no one fighting the somebody, so it's like, of course they want him to win, but at the same time, it was very difficult.
I mean, I've seen with other fighting games, and I want to say Marvel was the biggest one. It goes back to, I think, one of the final round tournaments. It was a Filipino champ taking on a Japanese player named Kusoru. And Kusoru had was basically, pardon the phrase, running absolute train on everybody in this tournament, like out of nowhere. No one saw this coming, and he was running a really unorthodox team. I think it was a Beautiful Joe, Rocket Raccoon, and I want to say Frank West, which was not a commonly played team in Marvel. Well, from what I recall, Filipino champ, I think I forget what the team makeup he was. Oh, that's right, he was using a Phoenix, and he had just went into Dark Phoenix. Well, somehow Kusoru hits this. He rolls out of the way of Phoenix and hits his Ultra, or his Super, whatever the Marvel term for it would be. And in the hype of it all, the game gets paused. And typically it's a similar rule. If you pause the game, you lose the match. They had a rule in play, if I remember correctly, that if the move that you were doing was a guaranteed kill and would end the match, there would be no DQ. They would actually let it ride through to see if it would end the match. And Kusuru was fortunate because the move did kill, so he ended up retaining the win as a result of it. Had it gone the other way, I think they would have, because Kusoru was ahead, I want to say, they could have restarted the match on even terms, but Kusoru wouldn't have necessarily had to eat the loss, or I think he would have had to take the straight loss outright. I am not 100% certain on that one. But I
That
mean
sounds
that,
insane.
but that is always like a rough situation, like when you have like an upset that's about to happen, and this guy's just so close, and then just something like that happens, and it just. Yeah, which way do you go with it? And I imagine, based on what you said, since they've since made it to where, pause is a guaranteed equal DQ, or to remove or turn off pausing entirely so that things like that don't happen.
And what I ended up happening to do was like I decided for them to replay the match because at the time there wasn't a set rule, at least I don't remember. But yeah, I ended up just replaying the match, and then the Sheik ended up losing that match. But it was just like really hard because I think the thing that got me the most was just the crowd, because like the crowd was just cheering for the Sheik's name, like just kept cheering and wanting him. So it was like really stressful. And then this guy, the Olimar, is just like getting at me, like, come on, DQ, like I should win, And so it was like, oh my gosh, it's just really overwhelming. And so it was very rough, I think. And I really, ever since then, I was like, no, never again. But I decided I wanted to continue to keep running the tournament, so.
For what it's worth, I think you made the right call on that one. I think restarting the match at an even scale was probably the right call to make there. That's just my opinion, but it sounds like you handled that correctly, and you did the right thing there. That, given that situation, that it was sounds like it was going to be a no win, and that's probably making the best of that kind of a situation. That was, yeah, I would say it was the best thing you could have done, in my opinion.
Thank you.
All right. Now, obviously, you have, being a competitive gamer, and insofar as Smash goes, you probably do have goals. How far, What are your goals with the current version of Smash? How far are you looking to take it?
I definitely want to like get my name out there more. So even though like I'm pretty well known, like in the Midwest at least, I feel like East Coast kind of area, like West Coast even, like they don't really consider Midwest to be good at all. And so they kind of like think we're really easy. And so I want that idea to go away. So I want to do really well at like East Coast tournaments so I can show like, hey, Midwest is good. But I also want to show like, hey, girls can be good at the game too, because that's another thing that people tend to assume is like girls are bad. And even now I still kind of struggle. Like if I go to a tournament, usually they would seed me pretty low because they're like, oh, it's a girl, like she must not be that very good. And then I have to be like, hey, I am good. But it makes it, I'm sorry.
Or it's like you know what you're doing. I mean, and that was actually going to touch on what was going to be my next question. You being a female gamer and in the competitive scene, do you feel that there's any added pressure on you to perform versus your male counterparts?
I definitely do feel like extra pressure because I feel like if I lose, then like people will just be like, oh, it's a girl. Of course she lost. So I kind of like don't like that mindset. I want people to like, oh, she lost. Like she respectfully lost, not, oh, this was to be expected. And so, like, because of that, I feel really pressured to do really well. And it does kind of make it hard because I'm just like, it's just kind of like sucks to be assumed that you're really bad at the game just because of your gender. So,
I could, I you know I could I was about to say I could understand that, but the truth is, as a guy, I really can't. I've never, the closest I could relate to that was coming from DDR, and myself being an amputee. Most people would watch or would see me at first glance and probably think, okay, well, here's a set. There's probably a few songs that he can't play, and sometimes it actually worked out to my advantage. I think some people would deceptively go easy on me, others would just straight blitz me out the gate. So I mean I can kind of relate, but I at the same time, having an entire gamer base effectively potentially look down on you just because you're a different gender, as though that means that you're not able to perform to the same capacity and level as other players, that would be kind of discouraging. And I mean the fact that you rise against that, you know, that's really uplifting. Or sorry, go on, my fault.
I was gonna say no. I was gonna say thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Do you feel that because of that you could be a role, or do you find yourself being in like a role model position to other girls who are looking to get into gaming as well?
I would really hope so because I have been approached by some girls who's like, oh my gosh, like you do really well at the game. Like I really appreciate that. And like I've even had like a girl come up to me and she's like, yeah, I was always super into Smash Brothers, but I tried to enter competitively and people would like say really rude things to her and stuff, and then she's like, I find it really inspiring that you continue to go on because of that. And I was like, wow, that's so nice. But at the same time, it's kind of sad to hear that she quit because of people giving her crap for being a girl, and it's like, shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't be. I would, in a game like Smash Brothers or any fighting game, it should really just come down to how you perform, how you play, you know, how you're handling yourself up on stage when you are playing.
Exactly. It really should. And but I don't know. It's just something that definitely needs to change, and I hope that I can be part of that change.
Well, here's hoping you are as well.
Yeah.
From a competitive standpoint, here's a question. You, again, stylistically described yourself as a tricky player. Are there any styles that you hate playing against? I know that's kind of a probably a loaded thing to add, have you add, or admit or add, have you answer in an interview. Wow. Apparently, I can't talk today. Go figure. In case anyone's listening out there and you know wants to learn how to beat Dacia, I certainly don't want to be responsible for giving them the blueprint. But are there any styles that, like, when you're playing, you revile it. You're like, what are you even doing? Why am I even having to sit here through this? This isn't fun to play against.
Definitely have to say campy characters can't because I play Ness, and Ness has a terrible time approaching because he can't really approach that well, and his like aerials, especially like his forward air, although it's like a nice spacing tool, it is kind of laggy and kind of like leaves them a little bit vulnerable. And so campy characters can do really well against them by just like taking their time spacing and just like camping them out and forcing us to approach. So it's definitely is the hardest like thing ever and can be really frustrating. Yeah, for example, like I went to this tournament in Chicago recently this past weekend, and I fought a guy in my pools, and he was Rob, and again, he was completely camping me out. Each game went to time though. 8 minute timer,
Oh,
like
Lord.
three, two, one. That's how badly like he was gonna camp me out. Fortunately, I won, but it was by barely, just because like I had to like come in and try and like hit him while he just hits me, runs away, then spams like lasers, runs away, and I have to approach him because I have no choice, but he doesn't have to. So it definitely is the most frustrating thing ever to deal with.
Now, see, I know for a fact when you talk about the game running, when the clock running all the way down to zero with regards to Smash, the full 8 minutes, the four and four stocks, I know what that means. For those who are familiar with stuff like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat and have never had the chance to play Smash, feel free to please explain the time significance of how long a Smash match can go when every match is running down to the wire like that.
Basically, since with Smash Brothers, I know it's a little bit different with Marvel because I believe it's like what, like 99 seconds or something. It's pretty short. Like sometimes our matches just go for like 30 seconds to a minute. But with Smash, yeah, we typically have an 8 minute timer. And so it can be like really mentally exhausting when it gets to time because you're literally sitting there playing for 8 minutes. And then if you do that two more times, it's literally you're sitting and playing for 24 minutes. Although with the new game, that doesn't happen that often. In Brawl, that happens a lot because Meta Knight could camp. He was a really good at camping, and there was like a lot of like getting away and stuff. But in the new game, fortunately, that doesn't happen as much. But if you're a campy character, that means you tend to like hit characters more with projectiles, and then you kind of run away. So since you're doing that whole like hitting and running away kind of thing, you're not actually fighting, which kind of like makes it go to time. And yeah, that can happen, but it doesn't happen that often in Smash 4.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you're less of running a sprint like with normal fighting games. This is like a marathon. Like your games can become, they can probably get very nerve-wracking, down, just very pressured. And I mean that most people would think like playing in a game like this would not be exhausting. They would think you're just sitting there, with a controller in hand. But that has just having to keep your full concentration on this on one game, that would have to wear at you.
It definitely does. And like I said, it like the last match we did, because let's see, he won the first one and that went to time. And so it's based off of like usually you win by stocks, and whoever loses all their stocks first loses, and then the one with the most stocks wins. So with time though, if you still have equal stocks, it's based off of percentage. And so the first match we had, he was about 20% higher. Or sorry, I was 20% higher, meaning I had more damage than he was, so he won. I managed to beat him in the second one. And then in the third game, actually, I ended up winning, but only by 3%. So he was at, I believe, like 67%. I was at 64%. So that means one hit in the last like second would make a huge difference in terms of.
I have to imagine the salt had to have been real at that point.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we both like we were both like really mentally exhausted because at this point we've probably been playing for about 22 minutes just sitting in that spot playing the same matchup. So
Now, as a question for that, how did that affect you going into your next match?
I definitely needed a break. I was mentally exhausted and I was like, oh man. And I haven't eaten at the time yet, so I was like starving. And so I was just like, I need a break. I need to eat some before I play my next match. So I took a little break, which definitely helped a lot.
Well, that is good to hear. How did you, if you don't mind me asking, how did you do overall in that tournament?
Overall, it was not bad. For 3v3, I think there was 10 teams, so 30 people, and I got first in that. And then for the 2v2, there was 45 teams or something like that, so there was about a little over 90 people, and I got fifth in that. And then in a singles match, I got 13th out of 129, so it wasn't bad.
That is really good. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you are entering Evo this year as well.
Yes, I am.
And well, I'll probably be seeing you at Evo. How are you looking to perform there? Are you just trying to, see how far you can go? Or are you going to go try and get first place and just rip everyone to shreds? What are your goals going into that? Because from what I understand, over 1,000 people have been confirmed for the Wii U version of Smash. And this is obviously Nintendo's newest baby, so I could see a lot of attention going towards that. Is this a tournament where you're looking to make a big name for yourself, and really, in a way, put the Midwest on the map here? Like, are you looking to put the Midwest on your shoulders and just be like, I'm carrying us through here?
One thing about Evo is like they're running customs, so it is definitely a little bit different than what we're used to. And in addition, that the rule set's a little bit different. They have two stocks, 5 minutes, so it is a play style I'm not used to. I do really want to do well there. I know at least at Apex, I was definitely going there to like prove myself. Evo. I feel like it can be a little bit harder just because, again, it's like completely different rule set. So I have a lot to practice beforehand. But I definitely would love to just get my name out there, get Midwest out there, and as well as girls, get girls out there too. So my goal is to definitely do well. Maybe not first, although that'd be cool. Definitely like in the top, or at least streamed. I would love to be streamed.
I was gonna say, if I don't think that the maybe outside of Ricky Ortiz through Street Fighter, I don't think there has been a female player in top eight at any of the main Evo tournaments.
Really?
I don't believe so.
Wow, including
So,
like Street Fighter and Marvel?
Ultimate Marvel or both forms of Marvel, I don't believe there has been a female player in top eight. I could be wrong on that. I want to say with Street Fighter, it was Ricky Ortiz.
Wow. Okay, well then that's my new goal.
You would probably make history if you pulled that off.
I would definitely be happy to do that. So, yeah. I definitely have a lot to work on. I have about 3 months, so that's or about 3, 4 months. So I have some
Four
time.
month. Let's see. A tournament is officially on the 17th. You have exactly 4 months.
Exactly 4 months. Yeah. So I have some time to prepare.
Now, you said the rule set is it's going to be 5 minutes, two stocks,
Customs.
and customs. That's right, the custom move sets that they've enabled as well. Which they, basically, that kind of each character now has a swappable move set that kind of changes the core game or the core gameplay that most people would normally come to expect with each character.
Exactly, yes.
Which means you might play against two care or two. Players who use the same character, but based on the move sets, they might be utilizing those characters entirely different.
Correct.
Which means you probably have to have a good knowledge base of every character and every potential move set they're going to have. Not to mention the fact that now you're running two stocks at 5 minutes apiece. Is this a way they're trying to push for faster gameplay, I guess, or faster
I
matches?
imagine so, because I believe Evo, this is the most number of games they've ever done. So I believe time is a concern for them, especially with Smash Brothers, which is understandable because Smash is a little bit longer than Street Fighter and stuff. But it'll definitely be interesting because, like you mentioned, like the customs, there's so many different potential outcomes for the characters. And unfortunately, the character I played, Ness, he doesn't have very good customs. And so more than likely, I would be running a standard Ness against custom characters. So even though characters will get a buff, Ness kind of doesn't. So I think that'll be kind of tricky.
Now that leads to another question. Are you just sticking with Ness, or do you have a secret pocket character you're not telling us about?
And so far, I still just have Ness, but I do want to try and pick up a secondary probably before the tournament just because of just because of customs. Probably it'll be really helpful and needed. But for now, I'm mostly all Ness.
Now, okay, here is a hypothetical question. Say someone could promise you that you could get into top eight of at Evo, but to do so, you would have to completely change your style of play. You would have to play a completely differently, and no less, it's a way you revive. Like, say that can't be defensive style. Alternatively, you could stick with the style you have now, but there's no guarantee you may make it any further than pulls. Which one would you rather take?
Definitely. I mean, I think regardless with Smash, I think you have to play differently against different characters anyway. So even though my style is a bit more tricky, I think depending on the character, I have to be more aggressive. So again, for example, like campy characters, I have to be tricky in a sense of being able to get in. Once I'm in, I have to be really, really aggressive. I can't let them get out of my, escape because if they do, then they start out camping me again.
And
So.
you're just having to chase them around and do the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
So let me ask this, are there any other games that you're looking to get into besides Smash?
I definitely want to get into Street Fighter V.
Oh my God, when that comes out.
I know, I was hoping it'd be out this year, but it's not. So I'll have to wait till next year. But I used to play tons and tons of Street Fighter 2 when I was little, so yeah, I'm pretty excited to try and get into that again.
I was going to say, when I was there last year, I know that they had arcade cabinet setups of Street Fighter 2. I want to say it was a Super Turbo. And I think they actually had like a big Legends tournament on those cabinets for everyone that used to play the older version of Street Fighter 2. And
Really?
yeah, it was apparently a really good tournament. I want to say that one of the big or one of the current good American players for Street Fighter 4, Snake Eyes, I want to say that he actually won it. I'm not positive on that.
It would be really cool, Street, like if I could play that game again.
Oh, well, I will tell you from having been at Evo last year, and I'm definitely looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to the venue myself because it's now actually on the Strip. Last year, it was my first time out in Vegas, and it was the Westgate Hotel or Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, and it was just right off the Strip. Apparently, from what I heard, that venue was actually really big for compared to previous Evo venues, and from what I remember with the main tournament hall, they were able to get like just about everyone in there.
Wow.
Whereas with this one, from what I've understood, the tournament hall has limited occupancy and they're going to have like a different viewing area with like live commentary and whatnot. However, the fact that it's a much nicer location overall, I think it's a trade-off, really.
Yeah, that would make sense too, because yeah, I noticed that if you bought like a certain ticket, you get to see the tournament hall viewing, and if you didn't, then you get to see the live broadcast. But I'm pretty excited. This will be my first time, so I don't. So you said the hotel's like right in the Strip area, so
Yes.
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Never been to Vegas before, so this will be my first time.
Well, you're definitely in for a treat. Especially if you like bright lights and partying, it's a treat. It is. I personally loved it. But again, apparently I'm drawn to pretty lights like a moth in flame. So, well, before we end this, do you have any final words? Anyone you'd like to thank? Any sponsors? Anything you would like to plug, streaming, any streaming you do, here it is.
Sure. So, I do stream and I do have a Twitter, and so you can definitely check me out at Daylightful. So that's DayLightful, Daylightful, and that's my Twitter handle and also my Twitch. And I also want to give a shout out to my sponsor for the Chicago tournament, RK Legacy, based here in Cincinnati. They've been a big help and been involved with Smash for years, not just Smash too, but Street Fighter and Marvel as well. I'm sure if you're familiar with Kinder Party, since you're from Kentucky.
Yep, I've heard of the name. Yep.
Yes, he's also sponsored by Arcade Legacy here in Cincinnati. So,
Gonna say, is that the old Arcade Legends that used to
yes,
be?
it is. It is. It's the
Oh,
same.
wow. I had been there once back in 2009.
Yes, should come up sometime if you can.
I would like to.
Yeah, I'll be running a tournament there actually, April 11th. So,
April 11th, and what is the name of this one?
class is back.
Class is back. April 11th, you all heard it. If you're
And Twitch will be
looking,
there too, so that's nice.
even better. Well, Daisha, it has been a pleasure. Hopefully I will see you again at Evo. Hopefully I will see you in top eight. And if you get top eight, I'm interviewing you first. I'm calling it now. I have rights before everyone else.
I'll be
Otherwise,
sure to practice hard then.
oh, please do. Good luck, Daisha, and like I said, we hope to see you again.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.